Hello and welcome to the History of Exile Football podcast. It's international break, and that can only mean one thing, because the games haven't started, so it's a go-through of the leagues in the region. I mean, I'd say the games haven't started. We've already been quite impacted, specifically Kosovo, from the perspective of their game, their qualifier this week against Israel, is... I don't think it's yet officially cancelled, or at least UEFA haven't come out and said, we're cancelling it, because Israel's at war, or at least a highly asymmetrical version of war. But yes, it won't be going ahead. Israel have already cancelled their accommodation in Kosovo. That won't be happening. We're just waiting for UEFA to actually do the deed and say the obvious. But it has been a really weird week already in club football, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Do our usual run through from north to south, starting with probably the weirdest place of all, Slovenia. It's rare that Slovenia is the oddest place of the lot, but it definitely is this point in the season. We'll start with a few stories. Obviously, you'll probably have heard, hopefully, you'll have taken time to listen to the Maribor episode we did about 3 weeks ago now, which was just before the end of Damir Kirstar's time in charge there. The club in disarray. They're not in much more array, really. Jos Bilicic has come back to training, come back from exile, a very long exile of about 10 days, that was. And Ante Šimunđa is manager again. Albeit, I think it's probably still hard to have too much faith in Maribor this side of the winter break, just in terms of their squad being very unbalanced and not very good, as well as that. But there are other stories to talk about, of course there are. We'll start at the bottom with bottom side Rogaška. Now, Rogaška, this is their first time in this form of the club in the top flight, and they've made a nuisance of themselves, I think it's fair to say. We had one game against Skopje postponed, which was postponed because the Slovenian FA felt that Rogaška's squad didn't contain enough homegrown players to meet the requirements of being, you know, a legitimate squad. Rogaška argued that, and that sort of set the two sides of Rogaška and the FA at odds. That game still hasn't been played, by the by, and hasn't yet been registered as a 3-0 win to Gobert, which is what might happen if Rogaška continue annoying the FA, I suppose. Most recently, Rogaška were extremely annoyed about refereeing against Olympia. Olympia scored two late goals to win that particular game, and you know, the reports from the game itself was that you had dignitaries from the Rogaška side throwing stuff, I think, trying to remember rightly, throwing stuff at the journalist box and having loud shout-out rounds with delegates from the FA, and then going into winning the statement league. I think there were three statements from Rogaška, all of various states of anger directed at the FA, rather than being angry at themselves and not being that great. It certainly has taken them a little while to get into the swing of things, although I'd say now we're probably at a point, you know, once everyone's played at each other once, where they are beginning to look, if not at home, certainly more than just making up the numbers. Alumini have probably had the worst period, even though they're ahead of them in the table, but Alumini's points total is very much tipped by the fact that they just seem to beat the big sides. You know, obviously, they've beaten Olympia, beaten Celje, and doing surprising things, basically. So you have Rogaška, then Radomir, Alumni, and Domžal, all 1 point above each other at the top, at the bottom, even. Domžal really have struggled to just find their feet, really. I don't think there's ever been a point where they've been bad. And, you know, obviously Luka Topalović has been put into the Guardian's top 50 Wonder Kids thing. And, you know, he's looking an extremely good player. And they do have good constituent parts. It's just not yet meshed under Dusan Kostic. Going up to Mura in sixth, now under Vrezemovic. And yeah, they're having, I think they're just going to be having a real nothing season. But one thing I will point out is the form of Dardan Shabanachai, who has been absolutely excellent so far this season. Has been capped as an Austrian under 21 international. I wouldn't be massively surprised to see by the end of this season Kosovo poach him. Even though sort of where he plays is an area they're quite well stocked in, as we're seeing this particular international window, they don't necessarily have that much depth when the injury bug comes a calling. Then top five, we have Bravo and Maribor both on 17 points. Bravo have the excellent form of Martin Pečar, really to thank them. He's just banging in wonder goals left, right and centre. Player of the month last month as well. Maribor, if you really want to go through Maribor, please go back a couple of weeks and listen to the long episode that's solely based on them. Because that obviously goes into far more depth than I'm going to go into here. We have Olympia. So to very quickly mention about Olympia, Olympia's XG is just mad. They've scored 26 goals, but I think XG is something about 14 or something like that. Massively overperforming on that regard. And that has kept them in touch in their Conference League games so far. They've been uncompetitive. I think one of the things that I was quite keen to see from Karl Henrikisch when he came in was that, you know, I thought he'd be more flexible and better prepared to take on Europe, better organised than we perhaps saw at times under Albert Riera. What we've actually seen is that that's sort of translated into stodge. And they've not necessarily been the most effective attacking side, even though they're the top goal scorers in the league. They've not really felt as effective as the stats have actually shown. He is under pressure, I think it's fair to say. There are several at the club who aren't too impressed with how the club are playing. You know, for someone who's coming in, and you would expect, particularly from his background in Portuguese football, to put together a real solid squad. Olympia are, they score a lot and they concede a lot. You know, the second highest conceded total in the league, which isn't very good. You know, there's not much paper in it. There's a lot of cracks to paper over here, and apparently they have, according to a keeper SN, already been in contact with Igor Bishan, trying to find out whether he would like to come back to the club. Although I would say keeper SN aren't necessarily the most reliable source of football news in the world. We then have Copa on 21 points, having a great season. Max Barasic is back and in form. I think they've made some really good acquisitions. Ramazan Arasov, who came in from Kazakhstan, has looked really exciting. They look back to where they were two seasons ago, in so much as they sort of have those creative options that drift across the park, are quite hard to track. They really tore apart Alumni at the weekend, but they sit 5 points behind Celje at the top. Now, why do we have to talk about Celje not talk about them in a positive way, in spite of the fact that they're 5 points clear? Well, that would be because Albert Riera has left the club today. So Celje are on the 11th of October on their third manager of the season already, which is not something you often associate with a club that's top of the table. But Riera left after, I think it's 89 days all in, to join Bordeaux in Ligue 2. And I think it's unexpected in the sense that obviously his spell's been so short. But, you know, as someone who's been a pretty seasoned Albert Riera watcher in Slovenia over these past 15 months or so, I think it's pretty clear to see from his demeanour he wasn't terribly happy with how things were progressing. You know, I think one of the things that were pointed out I pointed out on social media, or pointed out on here in the spring, was they had, I think it was a 0-0 draw against Quimper, and he really took it badly. And you sort of like, one of the things I praised about him, you know, for his first half season was, you know, when Olympia didn't perform, he took the burden upon himself. He wasn't throwing players under the bus. He was sort of doing that real sort of sports psychology quite well. He didn't seem to do it when the heat was on at that point. And I think we saw in a game against Quimper, again, you know, him and Zoran Zeljkovic do not like each other one bit. You know, if this was Football Manager, trust me, Zoran Zeljkovic is on Albert Riera's profile as distant or unfriendly. If Sports Interactive have not added that, they need to get the realism in there, lads. Riera has been replaced, it's been announced tonight, by Damir Kirsner. So Damir Kirsner, whose year and a little bit at Maribor was unproductive, I think it's fair to say. They didn't really come out of it better than they entered it. They entered it in a bit of a crisis, and they came out of it, as we went through 2 weeks ago, in a bit of a crisis. He's not really an heir to Riera in terms of playing style. You know, it's a appointment I'm personally, you know, would say I'm very disappointed with, because you see people praise Riera, praise the type of football he plays, and his dogmatism, his rigidity in saying we want to play football the right way, and you fail to build on that. Damir Kirsner isn't that, you know, he isn't Albert Riera, that's not a criticism at all of him, but you know, you've built a title run based upon a philosophy, and you've chalked it out in October. That doesn't, to me, feel like a decision that's going to win you a title. And what I would say is, in spite of the fact that not 2 years ago this side threw away a league title in the last week of the season, Quimper are not going to get a better chance to win a title than they will this season. They already have probably net 7 points on Maribor. They have probably net 4 points on Olympia, who aren't in form and have the added burden of having to do Thursday, Sunday most weeks for the rest of the autumn. And you have Celier, who have just lost the manager who was the reason that they're at the top. And also Alyosha Matko is injured for the remainder of the autumn. So you're taking the director of philosophy and the director of scoring lots of goals out of that squad for the at least the next 2 months. So yeah, Mr. Zeljkovic, if you do listen, and you don't, I'm sure, you need to take this chance, because they don't come around all that often, particularly not to get your three title rivals in states of disarray. Croatia. Yeah, should we talk about Croatia? Rudez have managed to be still winless after 11 games with 1 point. They spent the first couple of weeks of the season scoring quite well, but also conceding quite a few goals. Now all they do is really concede goals and don't score. And that isn't a recipe for staying up. I think, again, you saw what we went through in the season preview, they weren't a side we expected to stay up, and they aren't staying up. I think you then have Istra, who are having a very disappointing season from the back of what they did last season, being only on 7 points, because they're 5 points behind Slaven Belupo, who, again, you know, side we expected not to have a great season this time around. You have Lokomotiva, Varazdin, and then Osijek in fifth. Osijek have had a crazy season. They have brought back Zoran Zekic. That was confirmed this week, I think today actually. He returns to the club for another spell after leaving Partizani Tirana. Yeah, obviously his initial spell at the club was tremendously successful. And I think he's a tremendously straightforward manager, you know. It's almost the Croatian version of, is it Mike Bassett? I think, whatever that England manager was with Ricky Tomlinson, that film where, you know, he's set to a formation, it's get it out wide, get it in the box, be dangerous, be solid, be a bit meat and potatoes, really. It's not necessarily that complex or sexy a footballing mantra, but it is one that, you know, absolutely paid dividends at Osijek, paid dividends at Slaven Belupo, and, you know, we'll certainly hope it pays dividends for them again at Osijek. Gorica sit fourth, just 1 point ahead of them, having a very good season, but again, it's probably one that is a little bit unsustainable given that they don't really score goals. You know, 10 goals scored in 10, only 7 conceded. That you tend to see a reversion, or a regression would be the more statistically accurate word there, where, you know, they're just going to be dropping 2 points here and there, enough to take them away from any real European aspirations, unless they're able to add goals, which, you know, isn't something they really have that much of in them. Dinamo sit third, with Hajduk second and Rijeka top. There's 3 points between the three at the moment. I think we've very quickly better run through all of the seasons. Dinamo, of course, started very poorly under Igor Bishan, been picked up by Sergei Ikirovic, who left Rijeka for them. At the time of him leaving Rijeka, I think I commented that I didn't feel this was a very good idea on his part, and it isn't a very good idea on his part. They lost to Balkany in the Europa Conference League last week. And we knew this was a season of transition for them, in terms of the sales they made this summer. And then you here see them drop back a little bit in terms of their European performance, in terms of their domestic performance. So today that, you know, Sergei Ikirovic said, you need to give me players and you need to give me them now so I can strengthen this team. And the solution is that they're going to bring back Kevin Theophile Catherine, who, don't get me wrong, was a terrific servant to the club, but he's not good enough to do what I think they need him to do in terms of putting them on a level pegging with Rijeka and Hajduk or with sides in Europe. In terms of Hajduk, they a bit of a drama of a side, I feel, this time around. You know, one thing I think is a big positive, you know, that they've been able to get ahead of Dinamo, not just ahead of Dinamo, but also, you know, beat Dinamo in the league. And do so with Marco Levaya not really playing all that great this season yet. You know, you would sort of think if he's able to put in the production he's put in the last couple of seasons, on top of what Hajduk have been able to do so far this season, then you are looking at a side that should pull away. But he isn't. So it's quite difficult to then turn around and say that Hajduk will, you know. And I think one of the big issues with that isn't, you know, it's not fitness or anything like that, it's what state mentally Marco Levaya is in terms of the drama that's associated around him with the national squad. Obviously, if you don't know, Levaya is this, this international break, he's made the decision to fully withdraw and retire from international football. I hesitate to say retire. I think the issues that we've seen is that he has made a rod for his own back in terms of what happened at the cup final last year and really annoying Rijeka fans. Then when that has revealed itself at a national training session over the summer, he again pulled out of the squad because of some of the things that were said to him, and the national team hierarchy didn't really back him that much. He's obviously come back into the fold this time around, and again, I don't feel like he's felt that he's been backed, and for that reason, is it a man management failure from Zlatko Dalic? I think when you consider that Croatia have injury issues in the striker role, I think this would be one where, you know, maybe the pragmatist would say, okay, Marco, yeah, we'll give you what you want this time around, but maybe in spring, when we've got everyone fit, it might be a different matter. But yeah, whether his head's in the right place, I think, is the big question this time around. And I think what you've got to point out is you look at where he's made an impact this season in his only in his league performances has been 3 goals and 2 assists, and those 2 of those goals against Slaven Belupo, 1 against Rudez, 1 assist against Rudez, 1 assist against Valazin. So, you know, in the really in the big games where they would absolutely rely upon him, he's not really turned up that much. You know, particularly against Rijeka at the weekend, he was more or less anonymous, which isn't something you often say about him, particularly when he's been in Hajduk's colours. So, which leaves Rijeka top, and Rijeka are just great. They're loads of fun. And when I like Sergej Ikirovic shouldn't have left this squad team for Dinamo, I wasn't saying it because I was negative on Dinamo's chances. I was saying it because I was positive on Rijeka's chances. He had a really good thing going there. And Zeljko Sopić has come in, and it took a little bit of time to adjust. Of course it does for a new manager. But then they've kicked on big time. And they are deservedly top. They are the... They've got youth, they're exciting, they're pacey, they're direct. You know, they're everything you want, really, in a side that's going to push hard to try and win the title this time around. You know, you only have to sort of look at the squad. You know, Niko Jankovic, Tony Fruk, you know, even bringing back an older player, it's a bit of a coup, bringing back Marco Piazza, but he needs... they've been able to bring him back from injury, and you know, he made such a big impact. You know, basically single-handedly won the game against Osijek, and has been a very good acquisition for them in general. They've just done everything right this summer, and they probably aren't still. They probably aren't favourites. Dinamo will obviously be favourites, quite rightly, because they have the strongest squad on paper. But you know, I think, in a period, as we talked about with Copair not that long ago, you know, in a period where Dinamo are in a bit of transition, haven't quite really found their footing yet this season, in a period where Hajduk, who you know, for 2 seasons have been so reliant on one person, and that one person isn't having a great season, Rijeka can take advantage. Absolutely can take advantage. And you look at their... the game list, their schedule is the word, after this international break. You've got Istra, Gorica, Lokomotiva before Dinamo. So you know, there's 3 games where they can build themselves up to try and mean that when they go into that game against Dinamo, they are doing it in the, with the leisure of a few points ahead of Dinamo. And you know, again, as we mentioned with Olympia, Dinamo have to do the Thursday-Sunday thing. You know, that game against Rijeka is following an away game against Victoria Pilsen, which isn't, you know, that's going to be a big game for Dinamo's European chances. And, you know, they could come back from that tired. They could come back with a real big negative mental psychological thing on them. Scars is the word I was looking for. It could be bad times, is what we're saying, basically. Bosnia, that's really quickly, because I'm actually limited on time doing this, as I'm recording this while my son is at Cubs. Bosnia, Barac, top, by 5 points from Sarajevo and Sturka Brijeg. Zrinski sit on 18. They have games in hand, because basically they just get anything after a European game rescheduled, so they just play bunches of games during international breaks. In fact, I think they have a game against Borac this weekend. So yeah, if you can pretty much watch Bosnia play their international, then watch Zrinski play a big game against Borac for the top of the table. It's not been a great season in Bosnia in general. You know, I think really around the national team, quite justified reasons. You know, obviously we've seen the sacking of Mihajlo Kodro after 1 month as national team manager to bring in Savo Milosevic. What is that about? What's that about is that Viko Selkovic, the head of the Bosnian FA, used to be the head of the Republika Srpska FA, and yeah, he's just bringing his mates in, really. And under the guise of, we didn't really think Mihajlo Kodro would fit, whatever. We know what it's about. So I think there's a lot of reason for disillusionment in Bosnian football in general. And Zrinski's heroic efforts in Europe this season, you know, winning their first group game against AZ Alkmaar in the most dramatic fashion imaginable, and then, you know, hanging on to a 0-0 until 96th minute, basically about 10 seconds after I tweeted, "Wow, aren't they doing well?" Zrinski then conceded. But, you know, it was a heroic defensive effort. And, you know, okay, people will say of Zrinski, they're a Croatian club, they're not a Bosnian club, and this, that, and the other. It doesn't really matter. The coefficient counts for the same, and they're putting Bosnian football out there, which is the important thing, surely. Because, let's be entirely honest, outside of the myopic world of certain areas of the Balkans, no one really cares that much whether the Zrinski are a Croatian club, a Serbian club, a Bosniak club. They don't really care. The most they might know about them is that they nicked Velez's stadium, and that's not very good. but yes, it's an interesting season so far, but we'll see Zrinski rise to the top, no doubt. Borac do have a very good squad, full of players I have at times liked. Jovan Nisic in centre and midfield, really good midfielder at Vosovac, who went to Ligue 2, I think he was playing at Pau, but suffered a big knee injury. This is him coming back to the region, having, you know, for reasons completely out of his control, not quite being able to make it there. Nemanja Mihailović, formerly of Partizan, formerly of Heerenveen, at Borac as well. And of course, Milan Makarić as well. You know, there's some really good players there, no doubt about that. But, you know, it's always going to be hard to bet against Zrinski at the moment. Let's go down to Serbia. At the top of Partizan with Sven Zvezda. Second, I went to see Zvezda at their Champions League game at Man City. Very impressed with a few of their players, particularly Hwang, the Korean player who's come in this summer. You know, really plays with his head on a swivel. You look at him and you're like, there's no one on there whose head is moving more and is more aware of the ball. He's an owl, essentially. But owl or not, they are not having a hoot in the Serbian Superliga this season. Please do feel free to stop listening after that particular pun. Partizan 4 points clear of Zvezda. Zvezda have lost two games this season, which doesn't necessarily sound that bad, but that's more than they've lost in the past two seasons combined. So, yeah, it is quite a lot. Partizan aren't a terribly impressive side. I think they've brought in some good players, Severina, Mateus Adania, but it's individual things that have brought them success so far in terms of pace and directness. You know, I think that's one thing which they do have. They have a lot of athleticism and a lot of trickery. But I think if you put them, which we haven't seen yet, against Zvezda, over 90 minutes, I do think Zvezda are the better side. They've just really flattered to deceive in some games, league games this season. I think, you know, really the form of Jean-Philippe Crasso, really electric coming out of the gates this season, but has sort of dropped off a little bit as the season's gone on. We were meant to have had the first FC derby of the season, but because of events between Serbia and Kosovo, in a geopolitical sense, that got postponed. Now, that obviously brings me to the sort of obligatory message that you will hear about Serbian football at the moment, which is, you know, I think one thing that we were seeing less of. If I go back 6-7 years watching the Super League, every single game you would have a flag with a particular type of map of Serbia that has an appendage some people don't think should be there, and, you know, slogans of Kosovo is Serbia, and so on and so forth. They had sort of gone out of grounds before this season. Now they are back. You know, obviously one of the things that happened in the Kosovan situation that happened recently was obviously one of the Serb men killed. And I'm going to temper my language here. One of the Serb men killed, and not, you know, one of the heavily armed people was Zvezda fan, I think Stefan Delkovic, if I believe that's his name, please don't let me know if I'm wrong. I know who I mean. And, you know, I think quite understandably, when you have something like that happen, the fans do naturally tend to come together. That is the same in any club. It's just obviously in Serbia, and because it's to do with Kosovo, it's got this extra thing attached to it, which a lot of people find very distasteful. And certainly some of it is. You know, some of it is that bit more aggressive, that bit more barbed than it has been of late. But I think our experience over the past few years probably tells us that that will drop off a bit as we go. TSC sit third, Kukarici fourth. Kuka, just to very quickly mention, took a little bit of a time while to get going. I don't think they really settled on who they were playing, basically. They really settled on the squad. They have now. They are now improving. I think we're going to see the same top four as last year. Absolutely, in Partizan, Zvezda, TSC and Kukarici. In what order? I do not think Partizan will be top for that long. So I don't think they'll be top by the end of this winter, really, by the time we enter the winter break even. In terms of other sides who are having a good slash bad season, Mladost Strakani having a great season in sixth. And I think, you know, they were top four before this past weekend. In terms of a negative season, Bradnici Nice are now becoming, you know, really just a permanent crisis club. But it's Zvezdnikar who are bottom, with Radnici Kragujevac second bottom. They should be doing better considering what they've invested in the club over the past couple of years. One of them mentioned just for Novi Pazar. They sit 10th on 13 points. Again, they will expect more than that. But, you know, obviously they've brought in Adam Lajic, Leonardo da Silva as well, coming in. You know, some quite big acquisitions for the club. And they will hope to do better. It's time to go in quickfire mode now, as quickfire mode as I ever manage. Montenegro, we have Rudar bottom, only 6 points. Rudar Plovdiv have been skint for years, and I, you know, really, if they do get relegated this season, it is, I hesitate to say it's about time, because it's never about time for any club, but, you know, it is sort of the inevitable result of years of, you know, real struggle for them. At the top, you have Dečić clear of Budućnost by 1 point, then Jezero, Monabar, Petrovac, Sucheska sitting sixth at the moment after, you know, firing a manager by threatening to shoot him. Which generally, if you do that, I would say that pretty much means you deserve to not have a very good season. That might be a controversial opinion, but probably not. One other thing, obviously, to mention, mentioned about Luka Topalovic being in the Guardian's top 50 prospects. Well, we have a Montenegrin player in there as well. Of course, if you're not on it, it's Vasilije Adzic at Budućnost. Really good. You know, he's now got to be looking for a move to a mid club. I wouldn't be too surprised maybe if he went to Serbia this coming window. You know, just in terms of it's quite a natural jumping up place from Budućnost to, let's say, Zvezda. He wouldn't be the first one to have done it, you know, Dejan Savicevic. Kosovo, Balkani top, Klapi second, Drita third, 3 points between, 2 points between the three. Klapi brought back Valimir Velju coming back from Turkey, which is a really good return for them. You know, obviously he's such an impactful, pacey player. Fushi Kosova are bottom, only got 2 points. I think we mentioned this in the season preview. If you listen to that, they're grossly overmatched at this level. And guess what? Yes, they are. Finally, North Macedonia. Skupi versus Škendija at the top. Not a massive surprise there, really. Struga are in that mix as well. It's going to be the same top three as last season. Vardar so far having a very poor season, bottom with only 5 points, with Gostivar also in the relegation zone directly above them on 10. Not a pleasant welcome back to the top flight for traditionally Macedonia's biggest club. And that is I think that is a run through of the leagues where you can very much tell at which point I started to feel time pressures. So I'll make sure I rectify that. Maybe I'll go south to north next time. Just really mix things up, go crazy, and then make sure that they get the time they deserve, because they certainly do. As always, thank you very much for taking the time to listen. If this is something you've enjoyed, feel free to let people know about it on social media. If your chosen podcast service has a review thing, do that, preferably a positive one. So, because it all goes into algorithms and stuff, and it all helps. We do, of course, have International Week, the big one in terms of my own interest, of course, Serbia versus Montenegro, which is going to be a really decisive one in the group in general, based on how things have gone. May even really be the death knell for Pixie, should he lose to, well, let's be honest, the country's little brother. So, it leaves me to say thank you very much for taking the time to listen. Enjoy in the international break as much as you possibly can enjoy a week where there's less football and it's less good. And I will catch you next time.